Some of them are in this, we were just presented tonight. And we'll have to ask that question, what classes and how many students it affects. But right now, unless I'm misunderstanding it, there's no sports cuts in here at all. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Correct. There's no sports cuts in here at all. That doesn't mean if it fails, we have to go for another 440,000. Sports cuts might be there. So what you're asking is, would we consider cutting the sports that are at least participated? Is that what you're?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a criteria for us. How many students does it affect?
Okay.
So the least amount of students affected would be a criteria.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
Guys, any further questions? Josh?
I was just wondering, we were talking a little bit about the unreserved fund balances and how you guys try to appropriate that in so that the taxes don't go up as much. But I was wondering, where do the fund balance actually come from in the first place? I don't know if you know exactly or have a general idea of where those funds originated.
Yeah, I will ask Lisa to answer that. That's a good question. Are you in economics?
How a school district obtains fund balance is you can hear me, can't you? Okay, good. You have expenses and we have revenues. And at the end of the year, we close our checking account. When the district closes its books at the end of the year, we spend less than what we budget, or we spend more than what we budget. If we spend less, then we have fund balance. If we spend more, then we have a deficit. The district has maintained a constant level of spending, so we don't spend too much. We look at our wants versus our needs, and we prioritize. That's how we are able to have money left over at the end of the year. That's called fund balance. Fund balance is broken down into a couple pieces. There's reserved, that's money put away for a specific purpose. There's appropriated fund balance, that reduces the taxes in the coming year. And the third pot is unappropriated, unreserved. That third piece of fund balance is often called the 4% rule, meaning a school district cannot have more than 4% in an account, that unappropriated, unreserved account, that third pot of money, that's greater than our operating budget. So we have an operating budget of $27 million. That's multiplied by 4%. That's how big that third pot of money can be. So we're frugal with our spending. We have money left over at the end of the year, and we place it in the three pots of money. Make sense?
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
What? Why the first pot can't be the reserves?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Criswell asked me to explain why the first pot of money can't be used. We have specific reserves for specific purposes. For example, there are taxpayers that are unhappy with their assessment. They make a small claims against the school district. They file a lawsuit against the district saying, I don't like this assessment, even though we don't have anything to do with the assessment. I want you to lower my assessment and therefore pay me back money. We put money aside every year for those lawsuits that we receive. It's called a tax certiorari reserve. We also have a reserve for unemployment insurance. Sometimes people are laid off from their jobs, they file unemployment. We have money set aside to pay those claims. We cannot tap into those reserves whenever we want to because they're for a specific purpose. Okay?
Glad you asked.
You're up next, Chris. I saw you try to move.
Just a general question. I was just curious as to what determines exactly how much federal or state aid a district receives. I mean, I don't know if anyone can answer that or not.
We don't like to know.
That's a good question. I don't think anybody has that answer.
Because I think everyone is kind of asking that question, because I was just curious if there's ways that we could go about getting more from the state aid.
I mean, it's political.
Yeah, definitely.
But
you
gotta
ask
to go. It's a question we could sit here and talk about it for hours, literally. What's happened in the last, I want to say, 3 years, is the state's taken money away from every school district in the state, not just Cairo Durham. Every school district in the state. What the state government has done is propped that up with money from the federal government. So the federal government money ran out. When the federal government money ran out, the state no longer had the money they used to give us, so that's gone. The federal money's gone, so now we're in a big hole because all the money's gone. So why they're cutting on the schools, that's a question you would have to ask Mr. Lopez and Mr. Seward. The politics of it is, unfortunately, where we live is the least populated part of the state. There's a great presentation by Mr. Timms, and it's online, and he explains this very eloquently. We don't have the politicians here. Politicians are all from Westchester County and down. That's the base of the politicians that run the state. So they don't care about us. This is it in a nutshell. They care about what's happening down there. And this process that's going on in the state, cutting the district budgets, isn't affecting them as much as us, because we get more state aid than they do because we're poorer districts. So it doesn't affect them as much. So the politicians down there, it's not a priority for them. The politicians up here, it is a priority, but they don't have the votes in the legislature to reverse it. So we're stuck. That's the nuts and bolts of it. And maybe I simplified it a little bit, but that's pretty much what's going on.
Did
I leave anything out, Lisa?
We'll only let the state still expect us.
The state still expects us to do more with less, or as Mrs. Sharkey calls it,
less more.
We have to do more with less. They keep throwing mandates at us, unfunded mandates, and we have to do more things, and they don't give us any funds to do it, so we have to take the funds from someplace else. Chris Montonicola, you're up.
He has my question.
Oh, he did?
I took your question.
I was just wondering, under what circumstances are reserve funds used for?
Under what circumstances?
Yeah, like when would they be applying?
Appropriated purposes. Or
reserve funds are for a specific purpose, and you saw in the presentation that we have applied reserves. The two reserves that we're going to take from is the employees' retirement reserve. We're going to take money from there, and we're going to take money from the unemployment reserve. Those are two reserves that we're going to tap into, and we tapped into them this year.
Okay.
I'd like to add something to that. I stand up to you. I guess the class is going to be meeting with the senator and the assemblyman. We're going to have a meeting with them just to show you what, you know, the advocacy looks like. And one of the things that we're advocating for, and I will explain it more to you beforehand, is a special ed reserve. So adding another reserve. It's a place you can put money away to use when you need it. So special ed costs, we know, are so unpredictable depending on who moves in, who moves out, what happens to kids. So it would make sense that you could put that some money aside that didn't count toward the maximum you could have put away in the bank to help us out with that. So we'll explain more about that, and maybe, you know, if it's something that you think is important, then a discussion we can have with the Senate of the Assembly. So.
Thank you.
On the reserve, also, if we use too much reserve in any given year, we don't have any for the next year. We don't get our money from the state starting the first day of school. We get it months in. So we need a balance to float over to pay salaries for that first amount of time. If we don't have the money to pay those salaries, we have to borrow the money, and that's a slippery slope. So you need to keep so much in there to pay those salaries. And that's what's happening to some districts in the state right now. They have to borrow money to make salaries, and it's just going to get worse.
At this point, I think our questions are pretty well satisfied. So going to open up the floor to everyone here. Whoever has a question is welcome to come up. Open mic here.
I mean, if you could talk, and can you be loud enough? Dr. Baumgartner, can you hear Dean?
Can you hear me, Tom?
I can't hear you,
Dean. just so I'm straight here, just get a little confused. We're in the whole 870,000, right? And this other page of cuts of 400,000, that's what brings us down to this 469, you said?
Correct.
Okay. The other thing I see on here is we're, I guess it looks like we're going to really dig into our fund balance, and we're just going to eat it all up this year, pretty much. We need 800 some odd thousand for next year.
I think, yeah, there's something left for next year, but not a lot. Yep.
Okay, a couple questions I have, and you're going to hear the same speech from me, all right? This will be year two, the 10th time. I'd like to know where we are with the unions as far as them coming up with their solution to help, keyword is help solve this problem. Are we using the fund balance as a bargaining chip for the union? And what I mean by that, have they come to us and said, hey, look, before we'll move with you, you need to use your fund balance. The other thing I'd like to know is Durham also a chip to make the unions move to also maybe give up something? Again, my speech is we all have to contribute here, all right? The way I'm looking at it is taxpayers are contributing $12 million, all right? I don't know about everybody else's taxes, but my taxes have gone up since I've been in this school district almost 20% in 5 years, all right? The taxpayers understand that schools are important. I truly feel that you could ask for more than 3.8 as long as everybody gives something, all right? If the unions can say, hey, look, we're giving a piece here, the taxes need to go up to 5%, you may get that. As long as the taxpayers are looking at everybody's giving a piece, we need to all work together in this. We just can't ask the taxpayers for all of it. I don't want to see the teachers go. We have looking at $400,000 in the hole. It's going to be a lot of young teachers going because we have nothing else to cut. All right? And I understand not cutting sports, but you cut the clubs too. I don't understand that one. How about the kids who like clubs rather than sports? I mean, how can you choose one over the other? That's what you're doing. All right? So all I'm trying to say is, where are we with the unions? I mean, are they going to give us something?
We're in contract negotiations with the teachers union right now. We haven't asked them for any concessions for this year's budget, but we will. The CSEA, the other union, we have asked them, and they will not. The administration union, we are in negotiation with them and close to a settlement. And that's all I can say on those until they're settled. Does that answer your question, Dean?
Yeah,
not sets.
It's going to be sad, again, because you're going to have to let people go that these kids need to teach them stuff, right? That
yep.
My kids need. We're willing to let them walk out the door. I don't understand that.
Yep.
I have a hard time with that.
I don't understand it either.
I have a really hard time with that. You know, and yeah, you can close Durham. Sooner or later, you're going to have to. That's a sad thing to say, right? You might be district this year. You don't have any fund balance up for next year.
Right.
So sooner or later, you're going to have to make a move, right?
Yep.
And you can play that all you want. But again, if everybody just worked together a little bit, gave a little bit more, all right? And I understand teachers, and I understand everybody that works in schools, they get a lot. Fully understand that. I appreciate all of them. But again, now's the time. If we want our community, and again, the community is not just the parents in this community, it's the teachers, you know? You know, it's the bus drivers, it's everybody. Everybody's got to give a bit. Or guess what? You're going to not have Durham, you're going to have less teachers in Caro, you know, you're going to have more kids in the classrooms in Caro, right? So the quality of education may go down. That's what we have to think about. Please, I mean, we all have to give a bit.
I agree wholeheartedly, this entire board will agree. This year is the good year. Next year is the good year. The year after that's the bad year. The year after that's even worse for us. So you talk about closing Durham, you're going to be talking about closing Cairo in 2 years. And then what? Turn the keys over to the state? Yes, we need some concessions from the unions. There's no doubt about it. And we're not the only district in the state. We're in good shape. And I should have said that earlier. This district's in great shape, thanks to the work of the business office. There's some districts they're not. So the presentations that I've seen, they were talking 200 districts next year will be insolvent by June. The revised number is 300 districts will be insolvent by June. So something's got to give, Dean, and this is a great turnout. And Dean's been to every meeting. You've heard the tax cap thing as many times as I have. Hopefully you understand it, and you could tell people about it. But your comments don't go on deaf ears on the board, and hopefully they don't go on deaf ears on the audience.
Well, if you need to read in the paper, Channel 6 News and Channel 10, how the community worked together, okay? What I mean by community, that's the school, that's the taxpayers, right? And that's the unions that work in the schools. That's everywhere else. If you want to survive, I hate to say it, the employees got to give a little bit, right? Everywhere else. I mean, you can look examples at one of the window companies. You know, they're going to go out of business. Right? The employee said, no, we'll take a 20% cut. That's not what we're asking for here. It's maybe 5 or 3. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but the whole scheme of things, you're keeping other people employed, and you're keeping a job. And guess what? Ultimately, the greatest thing is our kids get the right education in here. We sit in here and we talk about money, but it's really the education for our children that matter. You know, that's the sad thing.
Correct.
Okay.
Frank would be moderating.
Ms. Goza, I think your hand has been up for a while. So we'll go to her first and then hear your question next.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My question is, I just want to make sure that I understand the paper that says suggestions from administration. On here, if it says 3.5, that's already in the first budget, and then draft 2 is already in the second budget, and then draft 3 is in the third one.
It has not made either of those two drafts.
Okay. So my question is, I see on here middle school and high school cuts, I see district-wide cuts, and then I see Carroll Elementary cuts. I don't see any Durham cuts. Is that implying that we're waiting to see if we're closing Durham or is Durham closing? Because I noticed on your Carroll Elementary that they're cutting the band, art, and music.
No, that's not true. Is there a number next to band, art, music?
Yes, it says 3512, 3512.
That's the date.
Yeah. So.
That's the date.
Okay.
It is not cut.
Okay. So it says not included without a dollar amount, and it's not in any of those.
That's correct.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand.
Yep.
Okay.
So there are more cuts to come, if that's.
Okay, so those are possible.
Everything
now is. If your elementary stays open, will their administration give a list of cuts as well, or is it just Carroll Elementary that we need?
If Durham Elementary closes,
no,
or it stays open?
They remain open.
I think this budget, I might be wrong,
reflects
that Durham Elementary stays open and the redistricting.
It's also from Durham administration.
For now, not if it stays open, yes.
Let
so
me,
it,
it, thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a typo. It should be Cairo and Durham.
Okay. So, but the band art music has not yet been cut.
Correct.
Okay. Miss, did you have a question over here?
Oh, yes. Okay. Draft 2, draft 3. Are these various different drafts of the proposed budget? What are these drafts referring to? I'm totally confused.
Draft 2, I'll have to get to that.
Are these referring to the contingency?
They're versions.
But draft 2 was draft 1.
When you do a budget, you start off with where you are now. What does it look like if we did everything exactly the same in the following year? That's called a rollover budget. then you say, well, okay, what can we cut or pare down from the rollover budget? That is draft number two. Okay? Then we say, okay, what else can we do? So we're at draft number three. So this is the third revisit of our existing budget. And those documents, the sheet of the proposed or suggested cuts, what has been reduced in draft number two or three. For example, in draft number two, we had a list of those folks who are retiring, teachers and non-instructional staff. And we know we're not going to continue their salary at the same level. So we take their salary and we reduce it. The administration also looks at class sizes. Can we reduce a teacher who is retiring? That's always the first step, is to look at eliminating positions through attrition. That way we don't have to lay off a body. That's what is included in draft number two, that thought process. Then we take it the step further. What else can we live without? That's draft number three, a suggested list. It's not carved in stone. It's just suggestions. That's where we're at.
And that's all if the budget does not pass.
No, we're not even there yet.
So these things have to be are possible
yes.
considerations just for the regular yes. budget?
Yes,
and
vote.
With all those items listed, we're still short $469,000. Thank you.
So
we still have to go deeper.
So some mixture of these
yes, exactly.
cuts are going to happen.
Yes.
Plus more.
Plus more.
Plus more.
Plus more.
If we don't receive more money from the state.
Does anyone have any ideas, suggestions on ways to get some more funding? So these things, taking it down to skeleton, from bare bones to skeleton, running a school. What can we as parents in the district, who do we go to advocate for this?
I would say the governor, because like I said, the legislature is powerless for us, but the governor could put pressure on the legislature.
I'm sorry, the governor can put pressure on who?
The legislature, legislators. He's done it already, and hopefully he can do more.
Has the board considered how to outreach to the parents to get them to do
it's
this?
Actually,
not everybody knows who to write, what to write, when's the deadline to happen. Because we're sitting here going, what are we supposed to do? If we want to do something, what are we supposed to do?
We say it at every board meeting. It's on our website, the addresses and phone numbers of the legislators. So you would write Seward and Lopez and the governor as well.
Is there a sort of formula that's known to work? 500 letters from 500 citizens?
Yes.
In the community?
Yeah.
Or, what is that?
Individual letters are better than a group letter. So if one person wrote a letter and another person wrote a letter, instead of 15 people signing one letter or one form letter signed by, copies made.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You want a stack of letters.
Correct. The stack of letters is better.
To Washington. But and is the board outreaching to parents and letting them know they need to do this? We need to do this now. We need to flood a desk somewhere in Aldi.
We say it at every board meeting that we need to reach out.
Not enough big people show up.
Correct.
Other ways to get that word out.
I've called the newspaper myself and put them in contact with the New York State School Boards Association. And I don't know if anybody from the Daily Mail is here tonight. No. So, I reach out to the media and they don't come. So it's not a big priority for them. So there's nothing we can do, and we can't force them to come here. As far as putting out, it's on the website. If you go on the website, it says with the addresses and the phone numbers who to write and who to call. It's on there.
We need your help going to every household of every student in this school.
Well, that was the idea of this meeting, and we had a meeting a month ago, the same thing, and there was 10 people there. So this is better. We've got a lot more people here, and we have a meeting next week and we'll put the word out again next week. And then next week, decide.
Wire sent to everybody in this.
Well, unfortunately, all of that costs more money out of a budget that doesn't have that money built into it for right now. I mean, we try word of mouth, we try advocating through the students, we are trying to contact the papers. Our administration has been lobbying for us with the legislators, but it's listed in the Daily Mail about our meetings at all times, and we're still not getting the overall response.
We have put templates of letters and examples of letters previously as different issues have come up. They wouldn't be on there now. The time when they get timely, we've sent saying, please send a letter regarding this, and they give a couple of tips. We've done that in the past. We don't have one out there specifically right now, but
can we get the word to the students in the classroom? Does it take 2 minutes every class for 3 days? Note on board, talk to your parents, copy this down, this is what they need to do for us. That costs nothing.
I think that's what we're here trying to do, is we're trying to circulate a voice throughout our school a little bit by our presence here. We hope to spread the word that it's important to show up at these meetings and it's important to lobby. And a lot of the problem lies at the federal level, but we have to find a way to get in touch with people, our legislators in New York State, because we don't have a lot of representation in districts like Greene County and such. So hopefully, you know, by increased turnouts here and trying to, you know, gain people writing to whoever it takes, you know, we could voice our opinion more. So
this, this group, this is the class that's going to actually meet with a trained lobbyist and then meet with the politicians and actually have a dialogue with them, not to train them to be little lobbyists, but actually to show, one, how it works, and to tell them impact. These are the guys who are directly impacted on this stuff.
Well, my idea is if kids can lobby their parents, to use that phrase, for a new iPod, a new game, a new song, a new this, and we need to get these kids to go home to lobby their parents to write a letter, and a letter for the kids. That's 2,000 letters hitting the governor's desk. That's a sizable tray of letters, yes?
Correct. It's a great idea.
Well, we need to, I'm not the teacher,
yes.
Get them to you guys to get this done in 2 weeks, on the blackboard, every class, for a week.
You really can't use the students as lobbyists. We can't promote our agenda through them.
We can't promote the budget through
them. So the parents have to be the ones who step up to the plate here. We can't use our kids as mailboxes, and we can't use them. We can't. Their minds are a little bit younger. You can't say, hey, go say this. So you can't do that. And parents can. We don't have a right to tell your kid how to think, what to feel, what to advocate for. We can show them how it works. We don't have a right to do that. That's crossing the line. It's not might be. It wouldn't be crossing the line.
Hey, that's a shame.
It is, but the parents are the ones that need to step.
There's some state laws we have to abide by. We can't tell anybody, we can't put out there, you need to vote for the budget.
So we need a way to get parents
we
to
use
more
the,
than just these
for this meeting, we used a robocall, and we used it for the last couple of meetings. I'm going to push to use it for every single meeting from here on out. It reaches every family in the district that has a child in the district.
Can the robocall be used for that?
Oh, the robocall could be used to get people to a meeting, and then when we get them to a meeting, we can tell them.
To ask them to do a specific thing.
You can send them to the website and look at the
We can send them to the website with the robocall.
Please
go to the website and look on there. Yeah.
For such and such a purpose.
Yeah, it's a little sticky. Yep.
You sent there to do.
Correct.
That's a good suggestion.
That's a great suggestion.
We'll realize that every time a robocall comes out, we get many calls saying, stop calling. No, not at all.
Did
Take
we get
me off the
this
list
time?
Or don't call for these issues. Only call, yes, numerous. A couple of dozen every time.
Well, those 24 people then can stay out of business, but it's worth taking 24 complaints to get 800 responses, I would think. Because this is really frightening. This is so skeletal.
We've been living with it for 3 years now. Yeah. And we've been trying to get the word out.
Well, word hasn't gotten out enough. Yeah. It definitely is not, it's not reaching. So we need another ring. Just to let you know, it's not reaching.
I understand your concern that maybe the word's not getting out as much, but I mean, this is basically, we're getting involved now to try to make a difference. I mean, most of us have a pretty powerful voice in our class, I think, and we're going to do what we can to spread the news. And while our teachers can't directly tell us go and vote for the budget or against it, but we have a lot of friends, and we can try to get them to get more involved in this, and maybe next meeting there'll even be more people here that are more worried about it.
So we've done outside of school.
Oh, unless you have any objections, I think...
We can't control what you do off the school ground.
Well, they can go onto the streets to pan for nickels and dimes for the sports teams and the Little League. There's information just passing out to get people to do what we need them to do. They respond to kids more than other adults.
And leave a call that you're getting sports is going to go away, and you'll have another 100 people. That's what I would do. Guess what? Getting rid of sports. You'll have 100 people.
That's a good idea, too.
But
I think we're going to...
be an avenue outside of school. The ones we're interested in.
Okay, I think we're going to...
How many... I know there's an Eagle Scout in the room. How many of you are registered to vote if you're 18?
I'm just registered.
Okay. That's what you can get yourself.
And he's an Eagle Scout.
He's valedictorian. He has a big voice in this school, so
he's
going to get it. Okay, I think we're going to take a question from over here because I've been waiting patiently. So,
Scott,
I'm
going to leave that.
Website, absolutely.
Yep.
You cannot tell them to lobby.
So if I donated 5 reams of paper, you could run off and put it in, say, come to the board of ed, parents, and you have your budget that's authorized.
Well, we can do it again. Now, I'm of the mind, just because it's been done doesn't mean we can't do it again. Yep.
I know, you have 10,000 tires on site. I hear them. In that warehouse on 145, I see them. So you want us to lie now? I got $10,000 in my office. Come get me.
By the state, and
you're right.
Can I just say something?
That's right. And that
I'm
with you.
No, about not doing and not telling the state. The state knows what you're doing, and the state controls your funding, and they give you no money.
How much can we save if we just do it?
No.
All right, we understand that everyone here has very heartfelt concerns. Everyone here has thoughts that they want to contribute and everything, but we're just asking that you please form your thoughts into a clear and concise question. just to try to get off of this. So please just form your thoughts into a clear and concise question. Yes, right then.
Out of 140 students, 150 students. I'm the Durham PTA president.
Okay.
And it is so upsetting and so frustrating because I've come to these over and over again, and I beg, what can we do? What can we do? And now I'm hearing another parent, which I'm so happy to hear that, but it's word of mouth. You have to talk to your friends, you have to talk to your family, your neighbors.
I think we're beating a dead horse here. We had another question right here.
What happens when the state takes over a district?
It never happened.
We don't know. We'll
find out next year.
Not
for us, but for other districts.
It hasn't happened. Okay.
There are two schools right now in jeopardy of that happening next year. We'll see what happens when it occurs. Other than that, we don't know.
I just want to ask, and I mean, there's no easy answer to this, obviously, and I mean, no disrespect, but you said that you turned to administrators to see where cuts should be made, and I mean, it's pretty obvious if we look at the suggestions from administration that there are no cuts to administration, and I don't see any. I mean, you can point it out, but I think I'm not even expecting administrators to cut themselves, but I'm wondering if there was anywhere else we could look for suggestions, possibly?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say to that is that the administrators are the only group that gave back part of their salary last year. So they did. And the only reason they were charged by the board to come up with what wouldn't affect program cuts. There are proposed cuts in the administration, again, the only unit proposing cuts, but they're being negotiated, as Mr. Fox has said previously, and the details aren't in there. So you will see, once again, concessions from the administration, which happens every year.
Thank you.
What prevents the teachers from doing something similar?
The teachers. Prevent right, the teachers.
I think we're going to take your question here.
Sorry, Frank.
Some parents are saying, all right, do it. I want to know, what does that mean for the programming for my student? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know how many teachers are going to cut. I want to know what that translates into for my kid in this district. That's what I want to know. That's the first thing. The second thing is, the last board meeting, the first cuts that were mentioned as far as programming is concerned were AP and music and art. What I want to know is, we've been hearing lots and lots of stuff about the wonderful technology we have here in the district now and the distance learning program we have. So how about we start talking about, instead of cutting these programs, how we can utilize the technology we have to work with other districts who are going to have to cut programs, to utilize this technology and not cut programming for our students. That's what I'd like to know.
There's three ways to cut a budget: program, personnel, and fund balance. We've used our fund balance. The next thing is personnel, and program follows personnel. We don't know.
We don't hear about programming until after the budget.
Well, because we don't know what.
Okay, personnel is this. So this is now what it's
going to be. So then the process, we're actually 2 weeks ahead of our process right now. So if we start putting, we haven't looked at this. We just got this tonight, just like you did. Okay, and it's been worked on for the last week. We're going to digest it tonight, and we'll talk about it next week and maybe some tonight. We don't know what program it's talking about yet. So if we put out there that, I think just looking over it really fast and my familiarity with it, I don't think any program is affected with the retirements, which is majority of the cuts in here right now. Any other cuts I haven't looked at yet. So I can answer that question there, so I'm not finished. As far as program goes, we can't make that determination until we determine which teachers are going to be cut. And we don't know that yet. We're still looking for other areas to cut before we get to the teacher cuts.
My comment on this year's budget and what I'm looking at here, I'm basing it on the fact that I've been very involved in coming to meetings and watching the budget process for probably 5 years now. And what I find happens is every year we talk about the staffing that's going to be cut, and the programming cuts that come from that staffing we're not made aware of until after the fact. And maybe that's because you're not quite sure what staff is finally going to be cut. But you know how you're going to get parents more involved in this?
Tell them which programs are being
you're
cut.
You're going to tell them what programs we're going to cut.
Somebody said it was a dean. Let's put out that all the sports will be cut.
Absolutely.
We'll do that. Put it out, Mr. Tavey. Put it on a robocall. All sports will be cut. I know, and that's why I say it. I'm serious. Let's put it out. If we get more people in this room.
That's not necessarily the fact.
Truth in advertising. We got 10,000 sports programs we're going to cut.
Well, the way I'm looking at it, you got to come up with another 400,000.
I'm looking at it the same way.
Sports should be on there. Sports should be on there. I hate to say it.
We can give.
We talk about educating your children
yep.
to sports.
We can ask how much does sports save us. Does anybody have that number off the top of your head?
Yeah.
I think we floated.
180,
Tim? So sports saves us 180,000. And if the press was here, we could say to them, hey, we're thinking about cutting sports, $180,000. It would save us and it would be in the paper tomorrow. And then we'd have a room full of people
Greg,
next
say
week.
It that reporter right there.
Oh. Where are you from?
WJXC.
The sports will be cut. It will save us $180,000.
Greg, this will rephrase it.
What else can we cut?
If sports are cut.
Oh.
If.
I like sports will be cut.
How about in 3 years you'll be homeschooling all your kids?
This whole file can be accessed tomorrow on the radio.
In 3 years you will be homeschooling.
And it will be played on the radio.
Which station?
90.7 and WJXC.org.
There's no doubt, you know, the we got to keep spreading the
word. JXE.
So, I think we're going to the lines. It's your question.
I have a program and related question. It's in response to something that you said to James about the programs that we have the ones that impact the least amount of students. And that's including academic and sports type programs. Because you may realize that the academic programs that impact the least amount of students are usually the AP programs, the honors, and that's a big problem. These are the AP kids, and the reality is the parents that come out or do participate are usually the honors kids. If you can't get parents to come here, you're not going to get them to write a letter. That's the other reality.
Sure. And I don't think he said the least number of students. They said the impact of students is the least.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
I think
least
he said the least
students.
Amount of students.
I know, but I think you need to look at it.
Right.
Is it the
other
way around?
Listen, a couple of things that maybe aren't clear. I mean, unfortunately, and I'll apologize, all you see is that list after the administration came up with it. Where does it come from? No one's going around saying, oh, let's cut this and cut this and cut this. There's a real discussion that happens around a table a lot for a lot of months. Most of it is based either on retirement or enrollment. Our enrollment is dropping. So sometimes you can do with a few less math classes. There's no impact to kids. You know, so that's where these cuts are being made. It's the least amount of impact. And why would sports be potentially a good cut? Because booster clubs can come in and fundraise that back. So whereas cutting sports is a crime, and it is a crime, we have kids who need that to get scholarships into colleges. We have kids who come to school because of it. So that's, you know, it's a horrible thing to do away with, but why would you cut it? Because booster clubs can come in and get the money back, and they can still happen. Not Hudson did it. Couple of years, Hudson, they got rid of sports, booster clubs came in and did season by season, and they did it. So that would be maybe less of a cut that affects kids than AP. I sat with a colleague at the Commissioner's Council a couple of weeks ago. His district has been worse off than we have. They've cut AP. They had a distance learning program. They let it go. They cut enough things to that where their salutatorian and valedictorian were not accepted at community colleges. It's up. It's in the North Country. I can get the name of it. I just don't remember right now. But he's the superintendent from there. Goes my valedictorian, my top two weren't accepted in community colleges in the state SUNYs. They were SUNYs because they didn't have enough on their transcripts. They didn't have courses. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. They didn't have those transcripts that we have. So while we're running out of money to do business, we're running out of programs to do business globally and providing this education. That's educational insolvency. And that's what we're heading for, and we're fighting like heck for it. So look at that list from anywhere you get it, the administration, and there's a lot of time and thought, and how do we make this? If they're not sitting around pointing to anybody. They're saying, okay, we have less of enrollment, we can squeeze it, because hey, let's face it, over the years, I would say from 5 years ago and back up, or before that, you just kind of kept adding things. Now when we look at it, you know, 12 in a class, maybe it's nice. We can do 15, 16 in a class. So that's when you start seeing some of these cuts. That's the only place that the administration at this point has dug on things they can do. That, Nicole, you know, you said you didn't know the impact of the program afterwards because you wouldn't know the impact of the program afterwards. You'd have to be told. It's not going to be obvious with the way the cuts are made in most cases. And when someone says, let's cut an AIS teacher, you know, an academic intervention services teacher, when someone says cut that, it's because we know there's another way we can deliver the same service. Again, no impact to kids. Okay, is it the most perfect way? No. Are any of these cuts good? No. Can some of them be done? Yeah. Should maybe some of them have been done earlier? Yes. Okay, we got a little bit puffy there. We were cutting our budget. We're pretty close to where we can't cut too much more without impacting people. So the cuts that are on the board right now for this board would be, now that we've done little impact, here you go, guys. Now what impact are you going to make? Because now it's going to be specific art, music, sports. Now that stuff comes. Because we've done the little impact stuff. The rest of it's on the table for the board at this point. Because we can't recommend. That's a board decision on how to cut program like that. So just so you understand a little bit that's going on beforehand and goes into it, you know, definitely for each one of these indicators that are on here, there's a rationale of why that would be the least impact. So tell you about it, Minister.
Yes, Travis.
I was so much about the robocall and how to get it as a word out every kid with every parent with a student in the school district. How are we going to get the people in this community without students? Because that's the people who really say no to the, like, why are they going to raise my taxes? I don't have a student. So we got to, how are we going to get them to come to these meetings and see what's going on? Well, without them,
ask other parents that, like, why that's not happening. Because, I mean, I don't think the board can really do anything about that.
But that's where we and the other parents
have to come in, and the parents have to tell their friends who might not have kids.
And also what you have to know is that during the actual budget process, after the budget's been put together, there are presentations done at the Senior Citizen Society. Lisa goes around and with Sally and does the budget tour, which usually is 7 to 10 stops, I believe last year. It was 7 stops, Sally?
I think 7 groups we presented.
7 groups you presented.
And we send that invitation to anybody who wants us, and even the Corvette Club. I don't even know who they are or where they meet. We sent that out to everybody, and we got 7 yeses last year.
We got 7 yeses. So, I mean, this is something that is done on an annual basis and presented to, you know, the students, the teachers, the voting parents of students here, and all of the rest of the community that are potential voters that we can find. So it's not something that doesn't happen on an annual basis. Maybe you didn't know that. But unfortunately, exactly what you said is true. Certain people have the attitude that, well, I don't have a kid in school, why should I have to bother? I pay enough in taxes. That's a mindset that we have to, and we do present to the voting adults out there that don't have children in the school, that you guys, the students, are our tomorrow. You guys are the future that will be here and trying to run this. And we're trying to preserve as much as possible for you.
Sally, perhaps when you go on these different talks, these are the kids to take with you.
Exactly.
Especially if you appeal to senior citizens, because in my experience, they do respond to the youth, you know.
No problem. I'll take them for this.
Yeah, if they see where the cuts are affecting directly, then I think they'll be more apt to actually vote.
Yeah,
you're going to get an actual bus this year.
We estimate right just under 3,000 parents in this district. Okay? We typically have about 1,000 people vote. So, and there's 400 to 600 no votes, depending on the issues. You play the numbers, parents have it. If you just get the parents out, chances
that's
are pretty good.
That's not everyone's job here, is that not?
Well, that's just to get the budget we approved passed, to get the message to the state, which this woman has been asking for, that we need more money. That has to happen now. That can't happen when the budget process is over. It has to happen during the budget process, and that's where we really need the help. To get the word out later to pass the budget, the administration's done a good job at that. The more help, the better, no doubt about it. But we need to get the word out now. We need to get the word out back in January when we found out that what the numbers were. So to get the word out now is the point, to get people at the meeting next week. And maybe the sports thing is a way to get more people here and then tell our neighbors, hey, if we don't get out there, we're going to have to create booster clubs and get to pay for sports if we don't get the message to the state to increase the funding.
Yes, sir.
Quick question. Can I go back to the school district because it's solid and they can't support teachers?
I'm learning more about this. The state ed takes over. What happens with the taxes? I don't know if you know, Lisa. No idea. My guess is going to be you're still going to pay your taxes. They're going to do whatever in their law that they can do, and I'll find out more about it. Because what happens is the process is the board says, we're done. Here you go. You can do it. We don't want to do it anymore. They come in and take over. That's what happens. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but you're working on the false assumption that they're going to keep all of the programming and everything that's here.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the state ed department and say, this is what's mandated. All right, all of that's done. And they won't care about tomorrow and the kids and the graduate and where they're going to go.
They also
might have fulfilled their commitment.
And they may not even keep the school open. They may just decide to ship all our kids to Windham Ashland Jewett or Greenville or Catskill or Albany. We have no idea what the state is going to do once they come in and take over. That's the scary part. They may close the doors and tell all the parents in this district, you're going to homeschool. You're going to come up with a program on how to teach your children.
Or you can send your kid to this school, that school,
yep.
And that school,
and
but
you're
going to take
it.
Not going to be any questions.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
That's the reality.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to walk there, there won't be able to spell bird.
Absolutely.
But don't you think the state, first of all, there's no money in the checkbook, right? That's what goes down to, right? It's not like they have this magic number in for a game. I understand writing letters. I hope there's 3 million letters on their desk now, right? It's not just our problem. But don't you think that what they're trying to do is form reforms? And what I mean by that is exactly what I spoke about before.
Yeah, about
everybody's
concessions.
Concessions.
Yep.
Unfortunately, with that, the only reform that's happening is in upstate New York, because your city schools don't have to reform. The city schools are losing about $900,000, maybe $1 million. They're not looking at a $7 million shortfall. They're not looking at $13 million in the hole in 5 years. They don't depend on state aid, so they're fine. It's your upstate schools that are the only ones that are impacted by any of this.
Well, it gets down to house value, right? Down there, the reason they have more money and they don't depend so much on school aid, right? It's because the houses cost so much more. They have a much bigger tax money, right?
Exactly.
So they don't really care. That's
right.
What it comes down to. The problem is, you screw up our school system, what's it going to do to our houses? They're going to go even lower.
People aren't going to move into the district because the schools
and
aren't good,
the
and then it's just
exactly
a spiral.
Thought that through until some of these schools go belly up, and then they're faced with the reality of, now what are we going to do? And then you might see some reform, but I don't think you're going to see it until schools turn over their keys and say, okay, you do it.
And that's what it's going to take to reform the education department, unfortunately, but that's what's going to happen. You hit it, Dean. That's what they're forcing everybody to do, is to reform. You get off this bitch.
And Dean, the one thing, you know, I know everybody should give, and everybody should, you know, as you said earlier, talking about the different unions that exist. One of the things that you have to understand also is that for the teachers union and the CSEA, certain things are state granted. They created the monster that we are having to pay for as far as the retirement system, as far as how much we have to fund for it. They dictate to that to us. It is not dictated by any teachers here. It has nothing to do with directly anything teachers have any say over. That is something that is dictated by the state. And it has to do with how they fund that retirement system that the state created.
Totally understand that. Totally. My thing is,
that's a huge
if you're negotiating with whatever unions we deal with, now's the time to really negotiate. Now's the time to say, hey, look, we're not talking about this year. We're talking about 3 years from now. Right?
Absolutely.
And guess what? And again, I think everybody deserves the money they make. But I don't know about you. I haven't gotten a raise.
Nope.
Right? And I don't know about everybody else, but my taxes are going up. And I have no problem paying extra. I pay 10% to give the school to keep it going. I have no problem with that. The sad thing is other people in the community can't do that.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is everybody's just got to give a piece, okay? And I understand teachers, and I respect teachers. This is not a thing on teachers, but now's the time to give.
Yes.
I respect bus drivers. Now's the time to give. You know, it's just a time if you want to keep things alive. If not, start closing the schools, watch the good, I'm not saying you're going to watch good teachers leave that are young. And they're the teachers for my children when they get older. That's safe.
Okay, yeah, I think we all agree that we're all mutually on that. So, did you have a question over here?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. it's just a few things come to mind for me. I agree with the gentleman from both parties. I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I have one child left here, and I hate to see the educational system is the lifeblood of this community. And, we really can't afford as a community to just kind of let it sink. So, we all have a vested interest in doing whatever we have to do to support the system. I hear a lot of conversations about trying to get more people to come to the next meeting. And that's probably a good idea, but it seems to me there ought to be some thinking about what do we do with those people when they come. Right? I mean, if we're just going to have a bunch of people come here to kind of listen to this, we're probably wasting their time and ours. And I don't mean this is a put down in any way, but maybe it's time to really dig down and think about what are our options. And I know you've done some of that, obviously you've done a lot of homework already. But where's the balance line? You know, I mean, how much do we actually have to raise taxes, for example, in order for us to not have to do some of the things that we are talking about today? What kind of argument could we actually make that the community would actually respond to? I love the passion I heard from Sharpie a minute ago. It seems to me that passion goes a long way as well. When we talk about kids, what we would be losing as a community if we allow some of the things that we're contemplating allow it to actually happen. Housing values are always a good argument for people. They've already gone down quite a bit. I don't know if there could be some negotiation with the unions. Maybe we could try that as well. I've worked for the state. I haven't been afraid to fight. And, I work under the governor. And he's not giving me that. Like I said, I haven't got a raise. It's ugly out there. There is no money. There is no money. Or they're telling us.
Or they're telling us that.
Right. I always wonder, why there is no money in this state. But they're saying there is. I'd be willing to pay more. I don't know if I have more, but I'd be willing to pay more. And I don't think I'm alone.
I don't think you
are
either.
I think that argument really has to be made, so that people can actually understand it, plain language. Sometimes it's not about numbers. Sometimes it's about heart and emotion. You know what I mean? don't know if any of that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well put.
I actually have two questions. First, and I think this could have been asked earlier maybe, I mean, we did the number crunching, but I'm just wondering, why is the budget increasing so much even with all these proposed cuts? I mean, where is the spending going exactly? I don't know if you had the answer, but it just seems odd that even when we're cutting everything on this sheet that we're proposing to cut it, that the budget's still increasing.
Yes, I do have the answer for that, and as does the board, but Lisa can put it more eloquently.
If you remember, there were pie charts.
Okay.
The biggest part of the budget is salary and benefit. And in the proposed budget, the benefit cost is just about $400,000 for an increase. The salary cost is a significant increase. Those are the two main increases in the budget. Because we have loss of revenue and our fund balance is getting lower, there's got to be a balance, and a balance is cut. Okay? It's a difference between how much we have, how much we want to spend, and we have to cut. Salary and benefits are our driving increases.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and the other one, I think it's kind of assumed by myself too that the first thing to go is music and the arts and those programs, and I was just wondering if that was actually true. I think Ms. Sharkey may have...
It's on there, but it's crossed off, so it's not actually subtracted. But the board directed us to look at everything. Don't forget, music's been cut already. We lost, I think, two positions, if not 2.5. We've been squeezing for a long time, guys. You know, we don't have much more. It's going to have to really go. Not to make bands bigger and classes bigger. The next music cut would be to cut chorus or band.
Yeah.
So when the direction is to look at everything, you put it on there. But let me give you an example of how it doesn't work. You cut music at Carroll Elementary, we have a contractual obligation to provide the teachers with planning times. And what we do is the music teachers, the kids go to music and teachers get their planning time. So if we were to cut music from Carroll Elementary, how would we provide those planning times? We're in violation of the contract. We have to find some place for the kids to go so the teachers have their planning time. So music cuts right now at Carroll Elementary doesn't make sense because we need somebody else to take the kids so teachers have a planning time. So there's so much that goes into this. So music and art, I mean, everyone says it every year. Can you cut art? Yeah. What do you need in high school? It's like a credit over your whole entire career. But, you know, we have to fight for that, because the reason that there are all those programs in art and we have the bands that we have is because as a community, we have fought for that. We believe in it and we want it. So that's why it's worth fighting for. That's why you don't take that out to the last minute.
I agree.
Not on there is what I should have said.
Yeah, I agree that we definitely need to fight for that. I think this is more of a state problem with the legislator, like we've been talking about, but I think it's kind of unfair that the only things that are important are these credit-bearing core classes, because a lot of what you learn in high school and the values and the characteristics you need to succeed after high school are not just taught in a lecture hall or from reading a textbook. I mean, you need to be able to take these other classes that teach certain aspects that aren't just academic success and more team building and things like that, so that you can succeed after high school.
Yeah.
To you that advocacy, when you go to tell the legislators what the deal is and how it impacts you, I mean, that's very, very important. I spent a lot of time doing it. I chair legislative committees to do that. If you were to have your band and you were to have, let's say, Mr. Bizzano come and critique you on your band, how would you feel about Mr. Bizzano coming in to critique your band, him having a different background than music? It doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense, does it? And however, legislators, including the governor's office, are making decisions without the knowledge they need to have. They don't know how it impacts us. They're making these decisions without the key information of how it hurts us, how it affects us, what it does to us and what it is we're up against. They're still making these decisions. So when you write those letters, that's the main goal of the letter. So when that senator or that assemblyman raises their hand and votes for or against something, at least they know what they've done to us. And that's what the role in this audience is, and my role. You make sure they know the impact of what that's going to do. That's what you have to do. You can't take away music. You can't take away this. They're so far removed from the process and not trained. They've never been superintendents, never been administrators. You know, I don't even know if they ever went to school, some of these kids. But, you know, all right, strike that. But that's what we're dealing with. People making decisions without knowing us and knowing what we're up against. And that's where we can make an impact right there. Educate them. Sometimes the best we can do.
I think someone said, too, that there's three types of cuts in the last to a personnel and program. And in some instances, that's true, they're separated. But I think a lot of the time, cutting personnel directly impacts the program, especially if you look at some of the smaller programs, music, for example. I'm in the school, we have three music teachers, and you cut one, basically half the music department's eliminated right there. So I think it's just important to remember that personnel and program are not separated, and no one really was claiming they were completely, but in many instances it's not, I don't think.
It's a good point.
It's a good distinction. That's one of the reasons that Dr. Sharkey said we look at it and we ask the administration to bring forward the cuts that won't affect now, but we're at that end. We've been doing that for a couple of years now. And unfortunately, you're right. Every personnel cut is going to affect program. In the past, we've been able to get by and make some personnel cuts, and it didn't affect program because the school's been shrinking, and it's still shrinking. And unfortunately, though, we're at that rope's end where there's not many left. Now, maybe one of the answers is we've approached the unions. Maybe the families can approach the unions and say, hey, we need, if 100 families approach their teachers and said, you know what, you guys need to do something, that might go somewhere. And I might be out of place in saying that. If I am, I apologize.
Greg, I talked to a bunch of teachers just in around that roundabout, having conversations, and teachers, I don't think, are the problem. I think that they are willing to do it. It's the people that are representing the teachers that are making the rules. The teachers are willing to take a pay cut. I've talked to a few of them.
But only the teachers can change that.
Yeah.
The problem is the people that are representing them. I think last week when we were at the meeting, $1.3 million was pay increases for this next coming year. Am I correct in saying that? $1.3 million.
Is that salary increase?
The salary increases. And then another $400,000 on top of that is the benefits package.
Yeah.
So that's the 1.7 that we're fighting over. That's where we started on that scenario one.
Wait a minute, Steve, I got to tell you, it's out of there right now.
Well, let me say this.
It's out of there. Those big increases, particularly for teachers, the increases aren't in there. All that's in there is the rollover amount. That rollover budget, let me explain. Contract-wise, teachers get step plus increment, you know, plus an increase, a percentage increase. Their contract's not settled. Next meeting's not till May. It's not going to settle for this budget. $500 per teacher, as per Tribro, is all that's in there. So that's not cuttable right now. So
they have a minimum they would have to give back. They have a minimum increase we're contractual obligated to pay for that unit.
Is it just a straight 500 and the percentage and then 500?
Straight 500.
It's in the
contract.
The next year is $500 per teacher.
Because there's no settlement in the contract. Yeah, that's being negotiated right now, but the next meeting's not till May.
And in fairness, we haven't asked for concessions. We will. We have not asked for concessions.
I actually had just one more question, and it's related to the unions and the personnel and program. A couple people have made the point that when you cut personnel, it also directly affects the programs. But if you were to ask them to, say, like, pay more into their health care or take, like, a small pay cut, that would avoid having to eliminate personnel. And my question is that a viable option? Because how much power and control do we have over that? Or is that more at the state level where that change has to be made?
No, the district has absolute control over that. Only when the contract is open. Right now, the teacher's contract is open, and the administrator's contract is open, and we're in negotiations, so we can't speak to the negotiations. We can only speak to the finality. The CSEA, which is the other unit, union unit, will not open their contract. We've been told they will not open their contract, so we can't even talk to them.
Is that one related to the state or like?
That's related to their union.
Okay.
Their union will not do that. So their union made a decision not to open any contracts. So that's end of story, game over, as far as that's concerned. It's unfortunate.
The employees that are not teachers and not administrators, all of the other things.
Now, unfortunately, on top of the health insurance is rising, so every dollar of health insurance that rises, we need to pay into. So that's a big cost that's been going on, as everybody knows, over the last couple of years. That's been going up, so we have to eat that.
Yes, sir. Okay. So it seems like the CSEA won't open up their contracts or allow negotiations. Is that what that means?
Correct. We have to wait for the contract to expire.
So it almost seems like the unions are eventually killing the workers by not allowing them to make concessions that they might be willing to make, ultimately winding up in this 2017 situation.
Yes. Well, the CSEA is the...
Well, just the unions in general.
Is the not teachers. Ancillary staff, bus drivers, office staff.
So are the teachers aware that the unions won't let them certain things or allow them to potentially wind up in this situation?
Are the teachers aware that the CSEA?
No, every union says you're going to get your raise and this and that, and you're entitled to this, and they sign the contract every year. You're entitled to more benefits and more benefits. What happens? Like they would negotiate more.
Right.
Instead of saying, nah, we're okay, we don't want that.
What the teachers realize I can't speak to, and what the union members realize I can't speak to, but it makes perfect sense that, of course, that's what's happening.
And then the healthcare, does the school shop that out to different healthcare providers?
Yes, and it's actually one of the things, I don't know if Lisa, I thought she mentioned that it's one of the things she's waiting for, is that it's out there right now, and that number hasn't come back yet. So she hasn't finalized that number, and she won't finalize it until it's finalized. It's out in a consortium. It's not just us going to Blue Shield.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty healthy premium, and maybe other providers like to have that rate instead of being out now.
Yeah, it's shopped out.
Yeah.
Is it every year? Every year it's shopped out?
We're part of a consortium. The consortium shops for all the districts in Rensselaer, Columbia, and Greene counties.
So it's a three-county, Rensselaer, Columbia, and Greene, all those unions, or all those districts are part of that, and that's where it goes out to bid, and it comes back, and we get a savings, if there is a savings, because it's shopped out.
One of the other things that we have to understand, though, is CDTA, like we just explained, is not teachers, it's auxiliary staff. They're already our lower paid employees. So while you can say that, yeah, they're not going to open their
CSEA.
They're not willing to open their contract. You also have to understand is that they are also the lowest paid employees in our district. So is it, you know, when you say everybody has to give back, you know, there's also percentages there too. You have to understand that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the union and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this gentleman had been a raise in 5 years. What's interesting is the union saying, I don't have a union.
That's what it's
like. A management confidential. You know, CSEA is not going to be negotiating the contracts actually at this time. CSEA told the governor where to go. And so they're not going to be negotiating any contract. They don't have to. Any down to you, never going to do that.
Okay, this goes in. If you have a question, I think we're going to move on.
Yes.
So you're going to add more students and take away teachers.
It's a shift from one building to the other.
Oh, so you're not really cutting, you're just bringing two teachers from there.
Yep.
Yep. And same thing with support staff.
No, it's cutting of two teachers and Carol.
No.
It's a net loss of two teachers.
Right.
What, for the redistrict?
If we redistrict, yes.
So if you redistrict, you're going to cut them, like two teachers from Carol, and that are you going to bring them there or not?
Depending on how the population works out, there'll be two teachers cut.
Who's going? Two grade levels moved, I think because of the numbers, that ended up two could be cut. So yeah, two moved, two cut.
How will two be cut if the kids, the 90 students in that area, they're all in different grades? You can't just take one student at the second grade.
Well, some grades have, some classes only have 20 students, so you would bump those classes up to the contract minimum of maximum 32, 31. You would.
And less in
Caro.
But basically, it's just a shift of students, so it seems like it should be a shift of faculty. Because I guess my concern is, these large classes for these young, my son does not go to their elementary, but I think 29 kids or 26 kids in kindergarten first grade is great. So I think by adding those more students, we should be adding
I haven't looked at the class size runs are for that because, like I said, we just got this evening. But I would imagine the class sizes are going to go up across the board, yes.
I just want to make it known I would not be in favor of increasing class size.
None of us are.
Yeah.
We
would like to keep it the way it is 3 years ago. We don't want to change anything. But unfortunately, we have to. So this is one of the options that we're pursuing, is if we redistrict, if we can save $140,000 by redistricting and class sizes are going to have to get bigger, then that's what will happen.
And where is this redistricting? I'm not real sure.
Yeah, the map's not real clear on here.
Yeah.
And
I know where it is. Do you know where it is?
Yeah, of course.
It would include everything from the top of 23, just by Point Lookout. You'd come all the way down to the Citgo station. You'd come across Frank Hitchcock, across 145, down to 32, up to like Rolling Meadow, and that whole area towards Durham from there. It wouldn't be stuff that's on the right side when you're heading north. It wouldn't be stuff on the right side of the roads that go down into there. It's not them. They're still Caro. But it's the Rolling Meadow, whatever those other roads up there. What are the other ones up there?
Rolling Meadow.
So everything west of
Meadow Lane, all that stuff up there. There's another circle something.
Just the little
loop. Loop. Yeah, that one. That all would be Durham. Not Round Top, only 23 heading east on 23, which is back toward Caro. You take a left at that Citgo station, cut across Frank Hitchcock, cut across 23, go to 32 and head north, and everything that you've just roped in will be pulled back to Durham. That's what the projected line is, and that involves 91 students that we referred to before. No, you're just grabbing more Durham kids.
More Caro kids.
Why? We asked transportation for a different line. I said it made sense for the buses. Right now they have one of the bus routes is 1 hour and 18 minutes. Now, that's not when the kids are on the bus, because that also includes the whole route time. But you're starting to push it over an hour. We said keep it under an hour, at or under an hour for every student. That's usually the goal. It goes 1 or 2 minutes either way. So going too much farther anywhere other than that, just put it over an hour.
Is that short term, though? I mean, is that a short term solution?
It saves us $140,000 a year.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a short term. Is that good for 1 year? And then by the third year, you're going to have to close the room anyway?
You may have to close it the second year. We don't know. You may have to close it the second year.
You might have to close it this year.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, again, we don't have all the final numbers to know exactly how much money needs to be cut. The board has not looked at any of these suggestions to say, this is a definite cut and this is not a definite cut. And where else can we cut? Last year, we asked the teachers to come up with proposed cuts. We asked the public to come up with proposed cuts. We asked ESEA to come up with proposed cuts. They can do that again this year. We haven't finalized anything. We would love to not cut anything. We've said it 100 times. We don't want to damage the program. We don't want to lay off teachers. We would love status quo. But we don't have that option. So we just need to look at everything and make some intelligent decisions as to where this school is going to be 5 years from now. Unfortunately, that's the long and short of it. There's nothing else we can do except coming up with suggestions from all departments, for everyone, and going through them one by one is the only way we're going to get to our bottom line. And beating up our legislators and our governor and having our kids make presentations and talk to their friends and talk to their friends' parents and get more people involved. That's the only way we're going to do this.
Okay, was there a question somewhere over in this region? Okay. Okay.
My question is about, in the presentation you showed that over the next several years, it's probably the school is going to be going more and more into the hole with its budget. And you explained that that was because the expenditures are going up in the salaries. So you mentioned that one of the unions was starting to negotiate with you and the other one was not. So my question is that going to change the increase in salaries? Is that something that would slightly change after you negotiate with the union?
It will change. For better or worse, we can't address that. We don't know. It's either going to go up or down. As far as health care, same thing. It's either going to go up and down. We won't know that until we know it, and that could drag on for a while.
Great, thanks.
Okay, yes.
Going back to the future cuts in the music department, why is it that there's a possibility of totally wiping out the music department before cutting at all into sports? And I understand your argument of people get scholarships and that's where their future goes, but people get scholarships for music too, and they need that. And if they don't have the opportunity here, then they're never going to get it.
It's a point well taken, and we're well aware of that. Any cuts in music in the past haven't hurt, as far as I know, the program. I don't know if there's even any in here for music, are there? There's no cuts in this draft 3, there's no cuts for music right now, or sports. Well, actually, there are cuts for sports, right? We're cutting everything, $180,000 for sports.
That's
we're not cutting any music.
The bottom number.
Right. So, does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Back, especially not the teachers, but bus drivers, custodians.
fully 70, I want to say 69% of our budget is personnel. So that's, we have to cut 69% of personnel. So of whatever cuts we make, 69% of it should be personnel because that's where the money is. The other, so no matter what we do, it's always going to be heavy in personnel just because that's the number of the budget.
A lot, though, of some personnel. And you're talking about the other union that's not negotiating. I'm assuming you're talking about the one for the bus drivers and whoever.
And it's not the members' fault.
It's their contract. No, it's their contract.
Right.
So it's not
time. The other two units.
Point 6%
is what we would need roughly to make up the shortfall we have right now.
And we can't go and ask for that.
We can ask for it, but we have to get 60% of the public has to. So the fear is, do we waste the money on going for that, and then we have to do for another a second budget vote? There's some money wasted there. It's an option we'll talk about. That's an option.
I know a lot of the state aid that we get is through grants for specific spending, and I was wondering if it's at all possible maybe to negotiate so that some of those grants can be used on a more broad basis as opposed to getting new computers every other year that maybe we don't necessarily need when some of those funds could be used otherwise. I mean, that's more of a state regulated issue, I think. But I don't know if there's any, is there negotiation at all in the grants that we receive and what they're used for?
A grant is put in for whatever amount the grant is for. So if you go for a $50,000 grant, you get the $50,000 grant and you use it for what they're specific. So what is it for? Is it for computers? Is it for musical instruments? Is it for whatever? You have to use it for that particular item. So there's no negotiating of a grant. Grants for what it's for, and the amount of money is what it's for, and that's it. Did that answer your question?
What are the possible things that you can get grants for? Can you get grants for anything? Or are there only certain aspects of the educational environment that you can get?
Pretty sure grants run the gamut for everything. You can get grants for everything.
Okay.
It's just, you can't always get them.
Yeah, exactly.
And are they there?
If you're asking for a certain
thing.
You
apply for grants
and
anything.
Apply for grants.
Area of the districts. And it costs money to go after the grants. It's not just, let's just write a grant. It's, you need to have the grant written properly, and it costs money to do that.
Part of the other problem with that is sometimes you can get grants to cover certain teacher salaries. One of the issues that we had was we had a grant that covered a couple of our teachers. Well, the grant is no longer being given. So
yes,
three of those teachers that were covered in that grant now have to be paid by the school. So you're going to see more money coming out of the budget to cover those teachers. Where when we applied for that grant, we thought that grant was going to continue. It's not. And now we have to cover those salaries.
Yeah.
and benefits, and so on. So just because we apply for a grant doesn't mean it's going to continue or be allowed to be stretched in other areas. If you apply for computer grants, it may not allow you to buy the software for that. You have to get other monies for it. So whereas applying for grants are really good, the money for grants have kind of shrunk.
Yeah, we can't really make our budget around the possibility of getting grants because
it's more difficult to get grants than it used to be in the past.
I understand.
Yep.
Carly, is your question?
Yes. My question is, as far as the redistricting, after the redistricting, if we were to do that, there would be extra space at Carroll Elementary. Have we explored other options as far as renting out part of that building to, I'm just throwing the West Arbo team. I know that has been brought up before and that they turned us down originally, but have we asked again or seen if there's any other possibilities for people who might want to come in that building to the location?
2 years ago, I approached the Coosaki Development Corporation, otherwise known as the Green County Development Corporation, and asked them if they had any uses for those buildings, part or all. No response at all from them. BOCES, no use for those buildings. Haven't asked them recently, and I will. As far as the college was asked to look at Durham, and they no interest at all. Columbia Green.
Yep. Durham's kind of far, you know what I mean, from the college, but Cairo's a lot closer to the college.
I don't remember what the exact answer was, but they wouldn't even consider Cairo.
The college?
Yeah.
They're not interested in the satellite at this time. They need it.
I mean, I think.
And Western said no last year and opened up their new place in Catskills.
Isn't Columbia Green growing now? Maybe now it's not.
They are growing, but they've got a lot of room over there.
They're going to keep growing, too.
No, these are. I'll ask again. There's a new head at the Coosaki Development Corp. I'll call him and ask him, hey, we'll rent you some space here. Cheap?
Yes, Mr. Christopher.
Not cheap? Expensive space.
How about, not necessarily schools, you know, classrooms, but what about offices? I know everyone is suffering this budget crunch. County offices. We have a lot of county offices. Maybe they're interested in maybe consolidating their heating bill with Dow and
coming down to Carroll
and opening up an office. You know, think outside of the educational box. Maybe there's other businesses.
Well, that's what I would hope the Green County Development Corp would do, is put it out to everybody. Hey, here's some space, instead of us contacting different entities. I would hope that's their model. They would say, hey, we're looking for you guys need space, we'll find some for you. So whether they do that or not, I don't know, but that's a good thing to ask them. Hey, you know, put it out there that we have all the space, that's your job, and see if they go with it.
And we're somewhat restricted to who we can allow to come into the school and what we can put in there. I mean, you know, you just can't rent to anybody that wants the space. Yeah, you know, you have the kids that, the kids to consider. We have regulations to consider about what can go into the school. So we can't just rent, you know, put a for rent sign on the window of the school.
I understand that.
There are people that we can't ask, but there are people that we have asked, and we've attempted to get people in there to rent partial spaces or whatever. You know, the county has a brand new building on Mountain Avenue that they have empty spaces in themselves now. So the county's not looking
for
space.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
But the county's not looking for rooms.
The county has no money.
I think, Frank, we're going to try to wrap it up, and Dean's had his hand up for quite a while.
With the $469,000 that we still have to front, are we going to, as the public, what tends to happen is the cuts come at one board meeting and next thing you know they're approved. I mean, can we at least talk at the public forum like this again about those cuts before they get made? And an example of this is, was it Schenectady, was it last year they cut all the specials, the agreed net, whatever. To
me that's an important goal. I would want to see that on the list that at least expresses my thoughts on it. We're up there, they just cut it and that's it. So my recommendation, since we're 2 weeks ahead of schedule, where before we make any decisions on this stuff, and I know you go to the administration and they give you all these, how the public don't some words that be concerned about those things, that's all I ask.
And that was my point about knowing what this translates into as far as the program.
Yeah, and as you know, the board meetings are pretty open, so we do take everything you say under advisement, and but the board, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, or unfortunately, the final decision does lie with the board, and we do take what and that's why we want these meetings, because we want to know what the general public does say about it. But next week we will go over these items and more line by line, like we did last year. Line by line, you know, and the questions will come out. Well, what's it going to affect if we do cut this?
Is there any way to get this list? I know if they give it to you tonight, that's great. Is there any way to just post this list online on our site, even if it's before the meeting? Maybe we can send it around to other people we know. But look, these are the list that they're going to talk about tonight. You know, I'm getting rid of. I understand. You know, you set up the agenda, but it doesn't, like, this would be on the agenda.
Right.
You know? I really believe we have to scare the crap out of people in order to really do care. I know that's a horrible approach, but I think
how many people do you think would look at it and then come to a meeting because they saw it on our line?
More than what's doing it now, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're putting a face on it, and it's a threat to them.
Maybe that we have some students active, and they can put it out and direct them to the website. It doesn't cost anything to put it online, right?
Just so it's understood that these are not the cuts, these are the ones we're talking about. And it's very hard when you put something out to clarify that it's not it's not the decision yet. It's only in the talking stage.
We could put it out as...
These aren't the scary ones yet.
Yes, correct. If we put it out as just a proposed budget, something along those lines?
I just have one final thing, and then we'll wrap it up. There have been various questions asking you guys, oh, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Have you considered this? And the answers have been mostly yeses. So, like, we understand that you guys are doing everything that you can, and that's good. But I'm just asking you guys, what if you could have, like, one thing to have all the audience members do, like, what would you ask of us to do? Like, what's the one thing that you want everyone to do and to try to pitch in? Because we're asking you what you guys can do, but I want to know, like, what do you have for us to do?
Write two
legislators. Right.
Increase the awareness of what we're going
to do. You guys heard it.
Talk to your parents and have your parents talk to their friends that live in the district.
And grandparents.
And grandparents.
And uncles. And anyone you can grab hold of to make your voices heard and tell the governor to stop cutting our budgets.
And to get it out there that the 2% tax cap.
You guys only need to be asking this.
Make sure your parents are educated on what you're going for.
Frank, you have
like, one more personal question.
Yes.
I think what you're saying is correct. That's what I want to say. Do you guys have a copy of this?
Yeah.
You're free to do whatever you want with it, correct?
Yeah. Public information.
As a tool. I'm not telling you that you have to copy it and pass it out. Go to your friends, show it to them, educate them, invite your parents. Come and tell them you want them to be interested. Have your friends do the same thing. So your student government trickle down to your middle school system. Trickle down to your elementary and your PTAs. Both elementary and PTAs are here. Get it to them. You don't have to, but you should. Also, get all your 18-year-old friends registered to vote.
Now, Jill, you mentioned the PTA, use the PTA. So how can we use the PTA? The CARO president, I saw her earlier.
How can you use us? Like I sent letters in the past. And every single parent in Durham received a copy of that letter. All they had to do is date it, sign it, send it back to me. That's all they had to do. Out of the folder, quick pen, put it back in, and I'll
20 is better than none.
Absolutely, I agree, and I'm more than willing to do it again.
We appreciate anything you could do to help get the word out and information to the government.
And I will contact the other PTAs and get them on board. Entire Kingdom's donated the paper, right?
I heard that. 10,000 tires, too, or something?
Hey, and tell Jay to pull his money from the Daily News because they're not here.
Okay, Daily well, Mail.
Or Daily Mail.
I think pretty much going to wrap this up now. I want to thank everyone here.
Thank you.
Here in the South.
Now, in closing, our meeting next week is Thursday.
Thank you, Sue.
6:30 it starts. I've also been informed that it's all been taped this evening, and it'll be on WGXC.org, the entire, whatever's been listened to. And the points of the meeting will be played on air in the morning and the afternoon, shown on 90.7 FM, on the FM dial. So that'll be our only press coverage this evening.
But people can go to it anytime.
Anytime. It can be accessed anytime. Like that Tim's thing can be accessed anytime that explains the 2% tax threshold.
Excellent.
And what my dream is for everybody to understand the 2% threshold. That's my one thing.
It's not a cap.
It's a threshold.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, let everybody know. It's not 2%.